solo en la calle de amor. Mi corazón solo en la calle de amor.
Nothing can describe my maudlin, pathos, and isolation as I trespass that eternal street. In my heart burns a thirst that the stars and streetlights can never quench. Am I walking a path that we all must travel in our own unique and distinct ways? Or am I but a doomed spirit, destined to repeat forevermore this walk of solitude?
Well, welcome to Friday, and that is such a great song. And that is a song called Lonely Street of Love that our guest today, Tony Mann, produced along with Phil Gamage, and that was a single that he just recently finished. And I just really love the feeling of that song. It has such a, I don't even want to say this, but it had a real reminiscence of so many different people. But it's his own sound, and it's really cool. And I know he's probably been compared to Elvis and, you know, other people, but he's got that vibrato and just such a great, great sound. And that must have been really fun for Tony to do as a project. So today our special guest is Tony Mann, who is a producer, drummer, filmmaker, and so much more. And I have my special co-host with me, Spencer Drate, in New York. We're going to be talking about what Tony's doing, and then Bill's going to be calling in so we can ask him some questions about that. Awesome. I received the CD, and I'm going to tell you the songs on it are just awesome. So with that, let me bring everyone into the studio, and I wanted to let everyone know also, if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-677-1036, and I wanted to also announce that the show will be available on iTunes afterwards, and also on Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. And with that, Tony, oh my God, that song is just so cool.
Really good.
Hi, thanks so much, you guys. I really enjoy what we came
that
up
was
with
fun.
Too, and thank you. It even sounded good coming through the phone here, waiting. So that's nice. The thing is, I produced Phil's last album. Phil Gamage is actually how I pronounce his last name. I've known Phil from the band Certain General, and he's been around the New York scene for quite some time. He's actually from Texas originally, but he's been here for a number of years playing with a number of different bands. I know him from Certain General, like I said. I helped Stephen Blush, the author, write a book called New York Rock about the history of New York rock music and people involved since the days of the Velvet Underground up till the end of CBGB's. It covered all that ground.
Mm-hmm.
It was on St. Martin's Press. So we had a number of events, book events, and they weren't just like a book signing. We also had an art show. We had a public library slideshow. We had one of the things we had was at Bowery Electric. We had a concert called and it featured all the bands from New York rock. So this included Certain General. This included David Peel. This included Jesse Malin and a number of other bands, Buddy Bowser. We had a whole night of entertainment. Certain General was one of the bands on the bill. I'd seen them many times, but they performed at this event. And I started to get a friendship with Phil. And at one point he asked me to produce his album. The album was recorded here in New York, and it's called It's All Real Good. I'm really happy with how the album came out, and you guys have it. You guys have heard it. And he wanted to do something a little more intimate. You know, sometimes he goes and plays a solo show or with a duo or with whatever lineups, but he wanted something he could maybe actually go perform by himself as well. So we kind of made it bare bones and really happy with the results. So he's made a number of videos for these songs on the album. You could, you know, see on YouTube.
That's
fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah.
And during this shutdown, we were talking, and he's talking about maybe doing his next album even more stripped down. And I said, hey, do you have any songs that, you know, you have lying around, some recordings, and we could maybe work something and put out something new? And he had done a number of versions of Lonely Street of Love. He never released it. So he sent me the demos of them, and Roger Stoltz, who is a drummer and the engineer on one of these versions, sent me the files, and I really worked the song into something totally different. And he's happy with it, and he made a video, and you hear the end result. And people have compared him to Roy Orbison or all kinds of people, and he has great roots in what he does. And he, the
great
main thing
voice.
Is, he has good, yeah, he has a great voice,
yeah, great
and he
voice,
has,
really.
He has a great voice, and he's a very good songwriter. So a lot of people have a cool sound or image, but you don't walk away humming a tune. Well, a lot of his songs really stick with me, and they stick in your head. So when he originally asked me to produce his album, I said, well, okay, if I'm gonna produce the album, if I give you some suggestions, you got to at least take it to heart, or else why am I doing this? So I was there during – I had the demos, and I heard – and I know how he sounds live. And I went to all the sessions, and I helped involve some of the people in the sessions, including Kenny Margolis, who is a very talented accordion player. He plays for Cracker. He's played for Mink DeVille and a number of other people. Very talented. So he was involved in one of the couple of songs that came out great. We recorded it at 30 Below here in Manhattan, and Brent McLaughlin was the engineer. He got great sounds. It's under Rogue Music, not too far from Madison Square Garden, so I just rode my bicycle over there every time, and I was there at all the sessions. I ended up mixing the album, and I'm happy that it came out like an album and not a demo, so that's kind of what we were striving for. A lot of music today, I think, is really homogenized. Everything's in perfect pitch and perfect time, but you don't feel any emotion from it. And we were just going for something that maybe you could connect with when you hear it in some level. And I think we achieved that. So, you know, and with this Lonely Street of Love, I think it's great we were able to work in some capacity during this lockdown and quarantine and get something show for it. And created something where we had nothing before. So it's really cool, and I like working with Phil. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really
who
good.
Did the who played saxophone on that? They wailed on that. That's really cool. It was really good.
Yeah, you know what happened with that is that, okay, so Phil, Phil gave me all the files, and Roger Stoltz gave me everything I needed to work with. And, you know, we replaced the bass and drums, the rhythm section here. Laura Sativa played bass on it. She's been in Mongrel Bitch, Cocktailica. We played together in She Wolves. She plays now in No Valentine. And she plays. What's that? In another band called Soul Cake. So we were able to replace the whole rhythm section. I actually played drums on that. So
wow. The
thing is that.
Rest
of the session, Roger recorded. So what I did is I cut the whole thing up. I made a new arrangement and kind of made it flow and sound like it just happened today.
Oh,
so
that's good.
That's kind of the story behind that is that Phil had another band at one point, and this is who played on the rest of the track. So I think that one of the things that people have to realize is that, you know, especially in New York, it's been nuts and we haven't been able to see each other. And this is the way we could kind of communicate and stay in touch through this music. And the original version of the song actually had a 1 minute sax solo. The sax on it is beautiful.
Wow.
What happened is this was more like an album cut, and we wanted it to be kind of like a single. Like
right.
I may make the whole sax solo into a whole other song because it's such a beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful piece.
Yeah,
and everybody that plays with these guys is like really top-notch people, and I really have a good time working with him. His songs are good, and I just try to – I know his sound. I don't try to make it sound like what it's not. And
just go for it.
It's a song, and people can remember it. So I guess that's the main point of when I work with an artist. I'm trying not to put, you know, too much of my fingerprints on it or get in the way. I'm trying to just understand what they're going for, and
right.
then I can go for it, you know.
So who was it that actually played saxophone? Who was the sax player?
Oh, right, yeah. Hold on here. Hold on a second.
Sorry.
I'm going
to
tell you the whole lineup.
I just wanted to know because they were excellent.
Yeah, they are excellent. I'm going to go through the whole lineup of the rundown of who. Roger Stoltz was the original drummer, and Roger Stoltz recorded it. I'm the drummer you hear on it.
Yeah.
Laura Sativa is the bass player of it. And I have to get Phil out here to get the rest of the band involved.
Calls in, we'll talk about it then. Okay. No big deal. I just wanted to know who that was because it really stands out. It really makes the song special. It in the beginning it has a whole different feeling, and then when the saxophone comes in, it changes the whole feeling of the song, and then it goes back to, you know, how it originally sounded, and it really has a really unique, it's just a unique song, so I really like it.
Let me mention
what
something.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
Since I have the album in front of me to help you out, I have the credits. Produced by Tony Mann, Phil Gamage, voice, guitar, harmonica, Kenny Margulies, accordion, Tony Mann, percussion, David Fleming, harmonica, Michelle Butler, voice. I just wanted to get that.
Right,
in.
But that's on the album. See, Lonely Street of Love is something
they
after the album.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
And,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And what happened
is. That's why
we're
trying to find out who it is that plays.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Right.
So when Phil comes on, we'll ask him. But meanwhile, I know Spencer had some stuff to talk to you about.
Yeah, let me
just get it
in because Phil may be calling in a minute. So, Tony, there was two things. One is I know you did, partnered with Stephen Blush in some interviews. I appeared at a couple of live ones, and then you.
Right. Yes.
Are you there? Hello?
I think we lost Spencer.
Oh.
Spencer?
Okay, well, I'll just pick that up. The Art of the Interview are some live interviews I did with the author and filmmaker Stephen Blush. We were originally doing them at the old Brownies in East Village, which is now called Lola. Then we moved
now
to
Phil's
Niagara.
Now Phil's calling in.
Okay, great.
Hold on. Let me bring Phil in. I don't know where Spencer went. Maybe his phone died. Hold on
Hello?
A second. Phil, is that Phil? Hey, Phil.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Hey. Welcome
hey,
to the show. We're waiting.
Thank you.
Tony's here. I'm here, Holly, and we're waiting for Spencer to call back in. Okay, Spencer, his phone probably died or something. Spencer,
I'm here.
Are you there?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Phil's on, but let's sort of thought and what Tony was answering to your question. Go ahead, Tony. Finish your question. Your answer.
Oh, okay. So we did a lot of live versions of The Art of the Interview where we had guests like HR, Bob Gruen, Dennis Dunaway of Alice Cooper, Kemba Fowler of Voluptuous Horror of Karen Black, a number of important artists. And we had a long form interview with them in person at the venue. And we also filmed it for a TV show, which is yet to be released. But right now we have the Art of the Interview podcast series, which is available on a number of platforms like Apple Music, Stitcher, Podbean, and
oh,
some
cool.
others. And so you
That's
can hear
good.
Some mm-hmm. of those interviews we've been releasing, which the Art of the Interview is also those live interviews we did recently, and then Rock History 101 from the Vaults, which is Stephen Blush's archive of tapes he's done over the year, interviews he's done with people over the years, from everyone
mm-hmm.
from David Bowie to Robert Plant and, you know, everyone in between.
Oh, nice.
Great.
Yeah. So then we also have a show called The Leaf, which deals with marijuana. It's a podcast about marijuana. And then so we have those three under the heading of Art of the Interview.
Cool.
The most recent
cool.
interviews,
mm-hmm.
The Vault, and The Leaf. So you can find those on my page or Stephen Blush's page. And The Art of the Interview is available on a lot of platforms. You can hear it. About 10 episodes out so far. We just keep putting
yep.
them out. Next one's going to be Degeneration, a vintage interview
oh,
with
cool.
Degeneration.
That's
yeah.
great.
So, Phil, we opened up with your song, Lonely Street of Love, and I fell in love with it and was asking about the saxophone player on it.
Yeah.
Sure, I can tell you. That's Dave Mullen, long-time
oh, nice.
Friend
okay.
of mine. He lives in New Jersey, and I was very fortunate to have him on the track. He had so much, and he's just a great player. That's what he does. He just
it's
he
a beautiful piece.
A,
yeah.
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 Made
yeah
his song.
Was,
it really, really did. And I love. Your
I was telling
spoken,
him the original,
voice.
The original version
yeah.
had a long, almost 1 minute, beautiful sax solo from him that was really hard to edit out because it's. It's a song in itself, and should probably
wow,
be made
yeah.
in itself. Mm-hmm. And I tried to take some beautiful parts of it and comp them into the song where it fit to make it catchy. And everything we do, we just try to make people keep listening to the song, basically.
Yeah,
really
I think
cool.
we should do
yeah,
another.
No.
Tony, I think we should do another mix, Tony.
Yeah, one
oh,
solo
mix.
And
maybe just the talking part, you know, and
yeah,
just make
Phil,
it right.
I wanted to. Phil, I wanted to ask you, would you mind
yeah.
reciting what you said? Because that is really, it was really cool.
Okay, all right, yeah. I
want to hear it.
Let's see if I, yeah, hold on, man. Let me see. Not exactly prepared
you.
For that, but perhaps I can.
Well,
you
know what? With me, Spencer knows. Anything goes. I'm like.
Anything goes.
I have people to sing on the air. I mean,
yeah.
I've said, oh, hey, you got a
go
guitar there? Hey. Yeah, I'd
it.
Love to
okay.
hear that spoken.
All right,
yeah.
here we go. I'll recite it like it's a spoken word piece.
Okay.
Nothing can describe my maudlin pathos and isolation. as I trespass that eternal street. In my heart burns a thirst that the stars and streetlights can never quench. Am I walking a path that we all must travel in our own unique and distinct ways? Or am I but a doomed spirit, destined to repeat forevermore this walk of solitude?
Wow.
Very cool.
I love that.
I love
it's
that.
Like, it's classic.
That is really
I
great.
I actually am going to, like, maybe play it little by little and write it down and put it on
post
my
it.
In my book.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's very poignant,
no,
and it kind of speaks
it.
To these times of solitude as well. So basically the original version of the song was kind of exciting
uh-huh.
and almost had a Latin feel and kind of a little
yeah,
more raucous.
That Latin.
And we no, but the original version that you haven't heard. And so in the final version that you know, we kind of decided
uh-huh.
like, you know, it doesn't sound that lonely. It's Lonely Street of Love. So we kind of did a few things to enhance that, and certainly that speech is adds to it for sure.
Oh
classic.
Yeah, no, it's very Jim Morrison to me. It's just so cool.
Great.
I love it.
Poetic.
Yeah,
it poetic.
And you
great.
Know what? You do sing in Spanish there for a little bit.
Well, that's
well,
actually Joe.
Yeah, I wrote that in Spanish.
Yeah,
I love
I
it.
I had a.
That's
another
great.
Vocalist who is a Spanish speaker, a native Spanish speaker,
uh-huh.
sing that short section.
What's
so that's
that
actually not me.
To? What does it translate to?
Oh, mi corazón solo en la calle del amor.
Okay.
My heart.
Love.
My
uh-huh.
heart in the lonely street of love or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, mi corazón. My heart.
Great
yeah,
international
yeah.
flavor.
Yeah,
it's cool.
And like Tony said, it kind of the song really has a history. It really evolved over time. I never gave up on
mm-hmm.
it.
Good. Never
and
give
just,
up on
it. And you know, I never was 100% pleased with what it had turned into before. And Tony really pulled a rabbit out of a hat.
He
I
dialed
mean,
it out, man.
He under
drumming.
Some adverse conditions. we did most of this work in late March, early April, when New York
wow,
was under siege
pandemic.
with
yeah.
the lockdown and everything. So
yeah, I was,
it was really a miracle.
I was healing from a broken rib at the time as well, so I wasn't sleeping much. So it was
Are
good
you
to have
kidding?
Something to focus on and something to do. I wish I
How
was kidding, but
How did you break your rib, Tony? Tony, tell the story. How
had,
did you break your rib?
It's not too great. I just nothing amazing. I fell down a flight of stairs. Anyway.
No, that's dramatic.
It is, and I'm happy. I'm
Holly,
happy
can
that,
I come in here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy
on.
That I.
Hello. Hello.
No.
Hey,
so
I just wanted to come in here on. Can I come in here on something? It's what Phil was talking about, which is very important. I find, and I've been, you know, you guys know I've been in the music business for years. It's very hard for a musician
mm-hmm.
to link with a producer. It's the most difficult thing. Many musicians think that they pick a producer with a name or something, and it never works out. I thought it's really good that you guys got together and really blended together in what you wanted to do. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, it's very astute of you to observe, man. You're actually right on
the
money.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah.
And all the
yeah.
time, Spencer, I learned somebody more amazing that you work with, and I'm kind of blown away by some of the people you've worked with, so I appreciate that comment. And I feel that, too, and I like to work with Phil. We're able to work together, go back
yeah.
and forth on things, kind of focus and get a result. And he comes with the goods. He has a good voice. He has a great voice. He has good songs. And we just try to represent that and make the best of it. And the people I've been able to work with are the ones that I think are able to communicate what they want and try to get their vision to happen. So I agree. I'm really happy to work with Phil, and I'm happy with the results we got, and I look forward to working with him in the future on
yeah.
other songs as well.
Yeah, very happy for you guys. Very happy.
Thank you.
Nothing. We were just having fun and talking. That's all.
I know.
I didn't mean to make you feel left out, but you know.
Sometimes, it's not about that. It's sometimes it's hard to cross over into the silence and then where to cut in, and then people start talking. It's not easy.
All good,
it's not
Spencer,
easy doing this.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Anyway,
all good.
So let's talk about
it's all real good.
A little bit more
it's
about
real good.
Tony, real quick, and then get in. It's all good. Really, seriously. And then we'll get into more of Phil's stuff. But, Tony, really quickly, what are you working on currently so we can cross over into everything?
Okay.
What?
Let's see.
Yeah.
I've been working
Sorry.
With, I've been working
Sorry,
with
Phil.
Enough.
Hold
enough.
On.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Are you there? Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I've been working
yeah.
with a number
okay.
of artists, including Theophobia, who's a very talented duo. And Dylan Mars Greenberg of Theophobia is a person who produces films for Trauma Films. So a very talented band. I've been working with them. They've played on public TV in Colorado for PBS. They have a new EP
oh, nice.
Out you can check out on Bandcamp.
Wow.
The band Theophobia. It means fear of God. That's the name of the EP as well.
Really?
And, they're super
wow.
fantastic, great songs. I've been working with No Valentine, who is a super talented band that has great songs. I've been playing on some recordings as well. And I've been working
oh, really?
With Michael Golden. Yeah, thank you.
You're
yeah.
Drumming?
And I've been working with
cool.
Michael Golden and Bobby McAdams, who are friends of mine from the Bronx. They grew up with Ace Frehley of Kiss, and they're guitar players, and I've been making some recordings with them.
Fun.
We're
great.
Gonna have Jimmy Coons of Cactus and Humble Pie guest vocal on a new song we're working on. So I've been lucky to work
wow.
with some really good and talented people. And I kind of got into it from I played with Dee Dee Ramone a number of years ago. And
oh, nice.
In Los Angeles. And
you
I played on his.
You know Vera?
Yes. Yeah.
You
but at
Vera?
The time, I do know Vera, but at the time he was with Barbara Zampini. And
okay.
So what happened is I played with Dee Dee Ramone in Los Angeles, and he asked me to play on his album, which was being produced by Paul Kostabi. So I ended up playing on that album. It's Dee Dee's last album. It's called Youth Gone Mad, featuring Dee Dee Ramone. I played on that album. And then I basically learned how to mix and produce by watching what Paul Kostabi and other people I look up to do, like mentors. So Paul got me into recording because I would add percussion and drums to other recordings. I played on a lot of sessions for him, including bands called The Willows. We did some Jane County recordings. I could go on and on. I recorded a lot with Paul Kostabi. He turned me on to how to record, how to mix, and
he's
produce.
Awesome.
That's great.
And he's
yeah.
amazing,
yeah.
super
we
talented
just had his
guy.
Brother
he made...
on last week. Last
yeah,
week.
Well, yeah,
I
Mark.
I worked for Mark.
Yeah.
I worked for them for about 10 years at Kostabi World. So. I was.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I was. I
did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, Paul had me put
then
together.
You and
after
Mark,
I worked with,
then you know. He's
I know
so
Mark
special.
For a number of years, and after I played with Dee Dee, Paul said, "Hey, my brother's putting together a house band for his TV show." So I helped. First, it was just me playing on the house band, playing drums, kind of like Spike Jones. Then I put a house band together, and we would play with everybody from, Glenn Matlock to Randy Jones from Village People to Blue Oyster Cult to
White
Ornette
Zombie.
Coleman.
Did you do the White Zombie?
Well, yeah.
Did
you
well,
do I've played with
them?
Almost everybody. I've played with almost everybody from White Zombie except Rob at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them. And Paul put White Zombie together. So Paul made the band
right.
Youth Gone Mad. He's from Whittier, California. He made Youth Gone Mad. He made Psychotica. He made Super Numb Live Machine. He made a number of bands that I had something to do with at one point or another. And I've performed
cool.
with Paul in Central Park with Super Numb Live Machine, with Paul and Mark
oh,
who
wow.
performed in Central Park. So anyway, Paul helped me get into recording. And then I just kind of used my ear, and I have mentors like really great engineers and producers like Jay Messina, Jimmy Miller, Brian
oh,
Keyhew
nice.
And others that give
yeah.
me tips when I need it, and I can kind of like a brain trust. to go to these people. Jimmy Miller's no longer with us, but he's produced a lot
of
great Rolling Stone albums and all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been lucky to kind of glean some knowledge from these different people. Giorgio Gomelski was another mentor. So I've been lucky to any information I could from these people. I didn't go to school for this. I just used
how
my ear.
How eclectic.
Yeah.
How many? How different? Everything's so different that he, the different people, Spencer, that he worked with.
Yeah.
The dynamic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel the same. Like I like all kinds of music, and I've performed all kinds of music. As long as the song is good, I don't care. You know.
Right.
It could be jazz. It could be world music. It could be whatever. But you know, it's more or less the thing that, you know, I kind of just go for the song and try to. I try to. Portray it so that the first person listening, they want to keep listening and they get into it, you know, that's all. And I think a lot of music today
you're
is kind
visionary.
Of too smooth and perfect.
Like vision.
It's too smooth.
Yeah.
It is, and it's too smooth and it just doesn't hook you in. And I try to like leave some of that raw element. And, you know, like Didi Ramon said, he left a mistake in everything he did and he pointed some out to me.
Oh.
And now that he told me that, it's I can't not hear it. But that's not the point.
Oh,
he has great
God.
Songs. And you can have the best gear in the world, the best producer, the best whatever. If you don't have a good song, good something going on about it, then people aren't going to listen. There's a lot more to do than just listen to music in this world anymore, you know? So trying to get the people's ear. So I'm grateful for people like Phil that trusted me, you know, and I tried to do them right by what I produced. So somebody
that's
talented
cool.
like that because I'm not the one, you know, I did play some percussion on Phil's album, but I didn't play on the whole thing. And I tried to play as little as I could and just get the song across, you know, not get away with it coming out.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now, did you play at any of Mark's famous salon parties that Spencer goes to all the time?
I never saw him there.
No, I haven't been to his that place, but I was at Kasabi World for 10 years.
His new
and
place
then,
is supposed to be amazing. His new
it's
place.
So
awesome.
Sure, yeah.
Museum
yeah, my,
too,
my
yeah.
friend actually helped him get into that new place in Chelsea, so hopefully I'll go
so
by there.
Excited.
When
excited.
Yeah, Tony, you got to go to the music salon in Soho because Mark, what he does is, I don't
and
know if you
food.
Know what he does, he brings all these musicians together. It's like a
sure.
it's like a music salon, I call it. And
sure.
It's just really amazing. I mean, Suzanne Vega's there. I mean, a number of people in the music. But then there's all kinds of people, you know, and they just, Mark has this amazing thing about, and it's not about him. It's about showing other people how they are as musicians or songwriters, you know. It's great.
Sure. I mean, I've met a lot of people through working with Mark. I mean, and I met all these people really because I ended up playing with Didi. Then I met Paul. I came into Mark's realm there, and he had a whole thing going on. I mean, for years, did tons of stuff. There
Mark's
was,
vibe
there,
is
two,
so cool.
Two movies about him. I was in one of the movies, and
oh, really?
You know,
one.
Yeah. Well,
which
this
one?
Is Con Artist is that movie. I'm in there showing Michelle Gondry. I was giving Michelle Gondry some drum lessons, and you can see me in that movie. And I, you know, I worked at Kasabi World as the archivist. You know, I would photograph all the paintings, and also I would rehearse the band. I pick the people to be in the band, and Mark was the piano player, and we had a bunch of other great musicians like Gas Wild and Gita Gash and other people that were in the house band, Jimmy Vespa. So we had a really cool house band, and we would come in and, you know, we would back up like Glenn Matlock or Randy Jones and Village People or whoever. So that experience was invaluable, getting to play.
That's great.
You play with better
That's
people,
great.
You get better, you know. And
yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, I've always been lucky to meet some cool people, and you know,
you
Mark knows a lot of people.
Take
you know,
Phil. You need to take Phil to one of his parties. I'm telling you.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love
it.
Tony, you're in, man. Come on, you're in. You know,
he'd be appreciated there for
oh
sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Phil is
you
a great guitar player as well. Like
Phil,
in certain general, he's like a whole other style of
go.
Music. So Phil has
Phil
a lot
has
of different things he brings to the table.
Yeah,
I'd like that.
I
like checking that out.
And so wait, Spencer didn't finish about the salon party because it's not only just amazing atmosphere, but he's told me the food is just out of this world.
Oh yeah.
Oh my
of
God,
course.
He caters like unreal. I mean, right, Holly? He just is a caterer
yeah.
to. Unbelievable. And yeah, he just makes things perfect. You know, you feel comfortable. It's good. Good food makes people feel good, right? So the music's good, and just experimentation. A lot of experimentation music, you know.
But Spencer, the new place he moved into, can you imagine what he's going to do with that? Because you know what, Mark
I
has
have no,
such a beautiful heart.
Believe me, I'll take pictures to send it to you, Holly.
He,
I'll take pictures to send it to you.
Mark,
I wish you
Mark
were there.
Is like. Mark is super special, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do because he said his brother's going to be more active and stuff there.
Well, they're super talented, both of them, and I really feel lucky to have got to know them and work with them. And, you know, Mark is almost like the Warhol of our generation, and I got to
That's
work in that environment for 10 years. And he's, you know, he was a peer of Basquiat and a number of other people at that time. And he's had a couple of careers, and he lives a lot of the time in Rome. He's well known all over the world. He did the cover for Guns N' Roses' "Use Your Illusion," and he also did the "Adios Amigos" for the Ramones. So the Ramones brought us all together because I played with Dee Dee, and then this all happened. So I'm thankful
Is
for
that
all that.
Is that how you met Mark and his brother?
Well, that
through the Ramones.
Well, I knew of them, and I knew of Paul and some of the bands he was in, Psychotica and other bands.
Yeah.
But after I played with Dee Dee, he told me Paul was producing his album. He wanted me to go to Paul and play on his album, so I did that.
Oh,
and,
wow!
And I was going to go to Japan
That's
and play
great.
With Dee Dee, but he passed away. Paul was starting a label at the time, and I ended up playing with a number of people on a lot of his recordings for all kinds of people. It would take a long time, a whole show just to talk
mm-hmm.
about that. But Paul got me into recording. So he's definitely a helpful mentor. He gave me a recording program, showed me how to use it, showed me how he mics things, whatnot. And I just along the way picked up tips from him and other people who are, I consider great. And what I like what I hear when I hear the recordings.
No.
And Dee Dee
totally.
Ramone could have recorded with anyone. He was recording with him. So I said, okay, it's got to be great. So, and we had a band together called Supernum Live Machine. And I actually, listen, today is the 10th anniversary of the death of Bill O'Coin. And Bill
today.
O'Coin was one of my mentors. Bill O'Coin was a guy from Ayr, Massachusetts. He had a TV show in New York called Flipside that had John Lennon and the Raspberries and showed the inner workings of the studio. He wasn't necessarily a band manager at that point, but he was kind of like Dick Clark of New York at the time. And he was from Massachusetts. He discovered a band called Kiss playing in a Diplomat Hotel in Times Square, and
oh,
he managed
funny.
Them to fortune and fame. He also managed a number of other bands, including Piper with Billy Squire, John Waite, Billy Idol, and he made a lot of people famous and made a lot of money for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
including himself. He was a really intuitive guy. He went with his gut instinct. He was a ruthless businessman, and he gave me instilled in me a lot of ideas and ideals that carry on to this day. And, okay, so over the years, I've been friends with Bill since I was a kid when he managed Kiss. And so I finally had a band. He came to see a few of my bands that I played in, such as Madwana and some of the other bands. He didn't really know what to do with them, but I had a band at one point called Supernum Live Machine with Paul Kasabi and Vincent Kendall. We were signed to a label called M2 in Russia. We were in Russian Rolling Stone. We had one album. We played one show ever, which was in Central Park in the Bandshell. And Bill O'Coin, I went to have a meeting with him when he had a Coin Global in recent years, and he'd come into some money again. He wanted to manage our band. Unfortunately, Paul Kasabi's parents got sick and both passed away, and then Bill passed away. But just the fact that he really loved the band and wanted to manage us was really heartening to me. And a lot of things he taught me, and he always gave me great advice. He was definitely a mentor as well, Bill O'Coin. So cheers to him. He was a big influence on
today,
me in a lot of ways. And today,
well,
10 years
cheers.
Ago, he passed away.
Big
you know?
Cheers, everyone on the air here. Come on, Spencer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on, Phil. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers.
So the thing is, like you said, we have a connection, me and Phil, and work together well, and I hope that's going to continue. And
awesome.
I wish him all the success in the world. The industry is really changing, and I'd like to say that Phil, during all this, has really carried on with a lot of these concerts from, you know, basically his living room. And he's played through a number of portals. He's played through some, you know, been part of some festivals during all this. We managed to get the song Lonely Street of Love and the video out. So he's one of the most active people during this whole thing that I know of. And he's really been hustling it and working it. And, you know, all the best to him and continued success.
Well, we should call. We should have. I should have you call in because I'm going to try to. I'm trying to get him on the air because I know a couple people he played with. So
when
I do a show with him and Spencer, you know, it'll be cool. Yeah. So we should invite him, Spencer, to call in because when we have, that's going to be a really fun show.
Yeah, that'd
be
great. Sure.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So what I want to know is, tell me, how did you meet Phil? How did you two meet?
Good question.
Well,
how we met
most recently, I was aware of his band, Certain General. I'd seen him play. But like I said, we had the Legends of New York rock show for to celebrate our book, New York Rock. And he's one of the bands that performed at it, which was Certain General. So I got closer to him then. And we have a mutual friend. And we'd see each other from time to time and talk about music. And at one point he asked me to produce the album. And I was kind of surprised and like, okay, wow, all right, great. All right, so I said, look, send me what you got. And then I'll go hear you play these songs. And I'll go when you record and help you get people involved. And the album was acoustic. It wasn't any electric guitars. It was acoustic.
You're back.
Still on acoustic guitars. And him playing harmonica. He had another harmonica player, a background vocalist, and an accordion, and that's it. And I played the percussion. So
it was very stripped down.
Oh, wow.
Very stripped down, but great, and it helped reveal the song, and it wasn't cluttered. So as long as we got good songs and good tapes, it wasn't that hard to put it together, and everybody that participated was super professional and made the best of it. So
been very lucky.
And that's so cool.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Spencer. We lost Spencer again for a minute there.
Oh,
it's okay.
And Phil's there.
Spence,
Phil, you're there. You're here too, right?
Today.
I'm here too.
Phil?
I'm here too.
All right, Phil.
Yeah.
What?
And Phil
so
is the guy,
Spencer,
who gets up there and works
with...
it. He plays all the time, so it's great to have him when he can play in public and when he can play on the internet and promote.
Yeah.
And he's
just
really, really focused and always has some new good songs, you know, coming down the pike. So. Look forward to the next one.
Yeah, so for Phil, this latest release is really cool. I love the artwork on it. It's done very well.
Holly, I wanted to add something. What about the bottles? Phil, what about the bottles on the cover?
On the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that was that's the work of a visual artist that Tony and I know. Raiku, I believe is her name. Raiku.
Yeah, Reiko Laufer. Yeah,
Reiko Laufer. Yeah, she had an exhibit at the
on
Avenue A Gallery, and I happened to. We had an event there, a video release party, that was the first time I had seen them, and I was captivated by them.
They're
I was kind of like the.
Very cool.
You know, they're kind of like 19th century potion bottles, you know,
right.
Like
mm-hmm.
Patent medicine.
Old
apothecary
bottles. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I worked out some with her and was able to use the images. I used them in my videos, too. I made full
That's
use
good.
Of them. They're all over the place.
Yep. You got to do that.
Yeah. It's like Phil is an artist as well, a graphic artist, and he's a conceptual artist, and he brings a lot. And kind of
That's
focuses his
have.
Image, which is cool. Yep. And like you know, Spencer. And so you recognize the detail work on things. And what happened is there was a great forum we had at the Art on A Gallery in Wendigo, which was owned by Wendy Scripps. That was on Art on A. That was Art on A Gallery. And and she allowed us to have a lot of events there. Like we had book events, and we had events there for New York Rock. We had an art show with.
Oh,
art
great.
By Chris Stein and all kinds of people and Walter Stedding and people performed, and we had art for sale, which we sold some of, and we had multimedia events for all these books we did because these people are artists in more than one way, as is Phil, And so Wendy Scripps gave us the use of the gallery for a video premiere for Wandering Stars, which is a great song off the It's All Real Good album. So we had a video screening there.
Oh, that's
great.
And
people performed in the gallery. And among the art that was on the wall at the time was these art pieces by Reiko Lauper that ended up being part of all this. So it's really cool that it all kind of tied together. And unfortunately, the Art on A Gallery has closed. But Wendigo keeps going on by promoting concerts and other things, and went supportive to local artists for years and helped a lot of bands out, and they can all testify to that. So she definitely helped us out a number of times, and my hat's off to Wendy Scripps.
That's so
and
cool.
And people at the Art on A Gallery were supportive and helped us all make it happen. So very cool.
Wow. Very cool.
So
very cool.
I know Spencer and I want to know what Phil's working on right now, besides he wanting to do another remake of Lonely Street of Love.
Yeah. I just had that idea today talking to you.
I know. Oh, that's
great.
Cool.
That's good.
Why not?
That's good.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, you know, I'm always writing songs and working up new ideas, and since the public health lockdown, I've been doing a whole lot of these live streaming events. I'm doing one tomorrow. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I was doing them weekly for a while. I've kind of backed off a little bit.
Why don't you tell us where it is? What time?
Well, you can just go to my it will be at 6 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday, the 27th of June.
Good.
And it's actually going to be a little bit different show. You could just go to my Facebook page.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm easy to find.
Let's give that out.
And
yep.
Yeah, tomorrow's show is going to be a little different. It's, you know, Facebook.com/Phil.Gamage.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's I make it public.
M-A-G-E. I just
spelled
your last name. Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. That's
yeah, his shows are always entertaining on the web. He's he gets good sound. He's engaging, and he's been doing it during all this lockdown, so he's pretty comfortable
with
doing this. And the camera just kind of fades away, and he just does it, and it's like seeing him at a venue. So it's actually cool.
Oh,
some people are experimenting with this, but he's been doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 o'clock tomorrow?
Yep.
Yep. Tomorrow,
on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Spencer and I want to know, because Spencer
yep.
loves
well,
to promote it.
You know, new stuff's always coming up. I've had some inquiries about performing live in a few weeks, in a few months. I don't really have anything definite. As you know, things are very much in a state of flux. But I believe live music's on the way back. But when and how long and where exactly is up in the air. But it's definitely coming back.
I want to tell you something funny really quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is really important. You know how people are doing concerts in Europe right now because a lot of them have been canceled? They're doing the drive-in on the stage with people tuning in on the radio or listen through the old speaker.
Well,
it's
funny you say
theaters.
That because tomorrow I'm supposed to be, I work with a band called Almost Queen, and I'm supposed to be at their show tomorrow in Point Lookout, Long Island, for a drive-in concert. So we'll see how this all goes.
Yeah.
And if
it's starting to hit the USA now. But Phil, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So you were talking about music and how you thought it might, you weren't sure where it was going, but you're talking
about what you
were doing.
Right. Well, it's interesting to hear about what's going on in Europe. I had heard a thing or two about that as well. With the warm weather, I think there'll be some outdoor events, music events.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
after that, I'm really not sure. In the meantime, we're fortunate to have these live streaming events. Not only have I been doing them, but a lot of people have been doing them.
Yeah, a lot of musicians.
They're very well suited.
Yep. A lot of musicians
for
are doing it.
For a songwriter, I can kind of put on a one-person performance.
Right.
Some musicians can't. So it happens to be well suited for me.
Yeah, that's good.
I've seen some amazing ones on this live stream on Instagram. I haven't seen any on Facebook except what you told me about Spence with Rory Block.
Yeah, there's Rory, but there's a lot of others also, Hal. There's other musicians doing it on Facebook.
Yeah,
it comes out every periodically. But Instagram is great. I mean, Instagram is another one. Instagram is great with dimension, Hal, you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Phil?
Just to add to that, the live streaming on YouTube as well, Instagram, Facebook, and then there's some like specialized websites that promote and stream their own events.
Live
music? Yes.
Live streaming? Yes.
Stuff like that. And we'll just have to see where it goes. I mean, it's all about technology. It's all about the health of the world. And ultimately, it's all about the art. And I think everyone kind of has to find their place in it. But definitely during the last few weeks and few months, it's been great to have an outlet to keep performing and you know, make a little money here and there, too. I won't lie and say that doesn't happen. People can be very generous and tip the musicians. So,
great. Well, speaking of generous and the health and everything, I was friends with Mark Bolan and still friends with his family, Mark Bolan from T-Rex, and his family. We've helped put together the Mark Bolan School of Music and Film in Sierra Leone, West Africa, and Gloria Jones herself lives there and you know works with all these people and helps organize all this, and this pandemic is worldwide, and Sierra Leone was ravaged by all kinds of things, revolution and Ebola and a number of health things. But the school, I'm really proud of them because it's a music and film school, and the school has produced a number of informational videos about the virus, you know, warning people and telling them, you know, to take care of their health, and it's been very helpful. They've been doing pretty good there, and I'm really proud of all these kids, and we were able to raise a lot of money for Mark Bolan School of Music and Film. You can go to their site, markbolanschool.com, and donate through PayPal, and anything's much appreciated because this is a small area of the world. It's you know, a lot of people don't get, you know, to go there or know about it, but these people have the opportunity now to learn.
What part of Africa, Tony?
West Africa, Sierra Leone. It's in McKinney, Sierra Leone,
West
Africa.
Right, I know. Yes.
And,
okay.
And Gloria Jones lives there herself at the school, and they have some great instructors, and they open these people's minds where before they were maybe just going to have some other type of life. At least they open their mind to art and music and possibilities of film and creativity, which is really beautiful to have in, you know, a place that's been oppressed and divided and whatnot. And the kids have their own say, and you can't fool the children of the revolution, like T-Rex song. And look, check out Mark Bolan School of Music and Film and see for yourself what these kids are doing. It's beautiful. And also another thing is there's a tribute album coming out through BMG called Angel Headed Hipster, Mark Bolan tribute with a number of people, Nick Cave, U2, Elton John, Kesha, all kinds of people. And Roland Bolan worked with these people and to get it right. And Hal Wilner, who just passed away, the producer, Mark Orselli, engineer, all these people are super talented to get a great tribute for Mark out there. So because of this pandemic, you know, T-Rex was supposed to be inducted into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they haven't been able to have the ceremony yet. So, like Phil said, we'll have to see what happens in the future and where it goes, because things are going to change and they're going to have to adapt and find other ways to monetize and publicize things. So,
So
it's cool to be involved with this school that's growing so much and from a dream, like become like a real thing. It's really cool.
Sounds great.
Have you gone over there and been part of the school and participated in any of the things they're doing?
What I've participated in is getting a number of items from celebrities and rock stars and having that sold to auction to fund some of this stuff. And I was supposed to go there one time, and I actually had a health problem where I couldn't do it because you have to get inoculated and you can't just go there. You know, there's so much going on. But I will go and proud to be part of this. And so Gloria Jones, who wrote, you know, over 100 hit songs for Motown, was in T-Rex, was in Hair, you know, amazing, super talented person, wrote the original Tainted Love, you know, and sang on so many hit records. And she's right there working with these kids, beautiful. And they've been feeding people there now, and it's a great thing. So please support the Mark Bolan School of Music.
Yeah.
So Mark Bolan School.
I know that.
Those people are like
so
family
cool.
to me, like, you know, Mark Bolan, family, Mark, Gloria Jones, and Roland Bolan, they're like family to me. They're beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
they put their heart in things. Beautiful.
Well, you know, Africa, and Spencer knows about me, Africa is just such a special place to me because I spent a lot of time there in Kenya and different areas. I went over digging wells for people, believe it or not.
Amazing.
To bring water to their town.
That's fantastic. These people, once I supported them, they sent me handmade, beautiful drums.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me beautiful handmade drums that sound incredible.
Yeah.
Such amazing people and giving and loving people and musical and just even how they speak is musical. Forget it. Like, you know, I'm trying and sending some lessons to some of these kids. I give them drumsticks, sticks, whatever,
they
drums.
They love music.
And, you know, it's pretty humbling to try and teach some of these people because they're already spirited. They already have their own thing. They're cool, you know. They have their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always commercial. It comes from a different place. So it's nice to be able to share any knowledge, and people have been generous and shared their knowledge with me. So I kind of just gave it back to some of these people, you know. So
it's
very
crazy.
Good. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Well, Phil, are you involved in any nonprofits or any type of events or anything giving back besides writing this great music during the pandemic?
Well, I wouldn't call it a nonprofit, but I did co-produce a music series in New York called Bluescraft that most of the shows on in Harlem.
Oh, wow.
And it was once or twice a month, and mostly local players, though we did have some touring musicians from California and Texas.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, that's on hiatus, but
yeah,
I think we'll get that revved up again.
Right,
and,
so.
You know, we had some really quality performers, and just trying to keep the music alive in New York City, give artists a venue to do their thing. And for so long I'd been just a performer, so it was interesting changing hats, and I've learned a lot now as a performer. If a booker doesn't want to book me, I don't get pissed off at them anymore like I used to, because I've been on the other side now, and I know there are a whole lot of circumstances.
Oh yeah.
And there are, you know, there's just more to it than meets the eye. And it's not fair to judge people like that. So it's taught me a lot more tolerance and understanding. I kind of get an idea of the big picture with the whole club scene and concert booking thing.
Also, it's a small community and it comes back around, and eventually these people do come around and call you up too.
That's
so.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
You might run into them 2 years later in a different context, and it's good to make friends. You know, it's good to,
totally.
To get along with everybody.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
All you have is the community, and the more you involve it, the better. Like I said, I knew Phil from a different, not walk of life, but a different musical style, and then help him do these other music projects is really, you know, rewarding and cool. But, it, you know, years ago I wouldn't have pictured that's what was going to happen, but okay, you know, great. It presents itself, and you just kind of go with it, and all right, here's a song, and how can we portray it to others so they're going to listen, you know? There's a lot of things now in life, like people can be on a computer, they can watch a movie, they can play a video game. You know, before, you know, we barely had 3 TV stations, if they even came in, AM radio,
oh my God,
and magazines.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a different world now with technology. We've used the technology to our benefit to be able to produce something during this time when we couldn't even be together to make it happen. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm still amazed Tony and I were able to get Lonely Street of Love finished, get the video made, get it premiered on Stereo Ember's website. And this all happened like within 3 weeks, it seemed.
That's right.
And it's, you know, it's a really high quality, I feel. Everyone stepped up. But it just shows you sometimes things turn out well. I mean, sometimes it's easy. It's not always a struggle to make art and to present it to the public. Every now and then something will fall in place, and that's what happened with Lonely Street of Love.
Agreed. Yeah, very cool.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. Very happy with the way it came out and all the stuff we did together. Very, very cool project.
I've been a fan of film noir for a while, so that's what I used in the video.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I like. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's my favorite, film noir.
That.
Something with style people remember, it's great because there's a lot out there. And, you know, when you're not a teenager, you're trying to still sell the song and have it a cool look and image and something people remember. So, you know, that's really, you know, hats off because a lot of competition out there. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Tony, about your radio show, the one show that you do called Belief. Where does that air?
Oh, okay. Well, that the Leaf, like I said, is part of the Art of the Interview series, and that airs on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes. There's a number of platforms, and you can look on my Facebook page or Stephen Blush's Facebook page. We're always promoting that when there's new ones. The next one coming up is going to be, a vintage interview with Rock 101 from the Vault will be a vintage interview with D-Generation from the early 90s. The next episode of The Leaf, the first episode of The Leaf had a really cool vintage interview with Robert Plant. We had Chips Enough from Enough's Enough as a guest. We had a Harvard doctor who had done studies on vaping and found, you know, that there's oil, petroleum products in vapes, you know, so they don't even know what's in it, you know. It's basically, the Leaf is a number of ways to look at marijuana, and it's not like a head shop, Cheech and Chong kind of show, but it is a show that talks about marijuana seriously,
more scientific.
how it's coming mm-hmm. into society today. It's still like divided mm-hmm. in the country, you know. Some states it's legal, some states it's not. It's super weird. And this country is like a bunch of little countries instead of the United States. So everyone has their political and moral and religious and whatever views. But
I hear it every day. You know where I live,
and,
right?
Know,
I live in Sonoma.
Right. And it just gets tiring, all this stuff. You know, it's one world. Give me a break with all this division. With music, we're trying to unite people, and they can prop up brand new medicine every day gets rushed through that next year they're suing people over because it's poison, but people want to smoke weed and they have for many years, and they've always wanted to criminalize it and, you know, whatever. But some states it's legal, some states it's not, and Stephen Blush worked for High Times, you know, Laura Sativa has been called one of the most important women in cannabis culture. So all this stuff adds up to people who know what they're talking about. And we kind of, on that show, trying to get into that and explore different avenues of marijuana in culture and society, you know, the pros and cons. So, we're trying to discuss that. And Stephen Blush is another mentor for me. He wrote American Hardcore. It was made into a film. That sold to Sony Picture Classics. I've worked on a number of projects with him in the fall. He has a book coming out called Bustin' Balls, World Team Tennis 74-78, which is the history of that sport. It was a league started by Billie Jean King and her husband, Larry King at the time in 1974. It was tennis Americanized, kind of tennis trying to be made into a mass culture, you know, popularity sport, with co-ed teams, transgender members, and all this interracial play in, like, 1974. So this is a sport that was ahead of its time. And, you know, Stephen wrote a number of books, American Hair Metal, 45 Dangerous Minds. He had Seconds Magazine way back. He worked for Interview, Paper. And We made a documentary called Lost Rockers. It still hasn't seen the light of day. It did air at Lincoln Center Film Fest, but because of music rights, it's extremely exorbitantly expensive to clear rights for even the most obscure song sometimes now. Mm-hmm. We're trying to preserve the memories of these people. In the meantime, we came out with a book called Lost Rockers. Came out through Powerhouse, distributed by Random House. And, you know, I helped Stephen when he redid the Stephen Blush, when he redid the reboot 10-year anniversary of American Hardcore. I helped him do a promotional tour across the country, and we had a lot of panel discussions involving the community again. That's the only way to do these kind of things, and bringing out some of the players that, you know, played in local hardcore bands and some of the more, you know, internationally known ones, but some of the local ones too. They're a part of it. And then he, we did the New York Rock book, and we did tours for that. So I kind of helped as an editorial contributor on New York Rock, and did a bunch of the interviews and transcribed some of the interviews. So, you know, he got me in the door as an author and an interview person, you know, and just kind of educate yourself about someone and try to ask the best questions you can. And that's, you know,
wow,
what you guys do too. So it's been
that's
fun and lucky to know people
do,
like that, you know?
Huh,
yeah, that's what you do. And
Spencer,
that's what we all
yeah
do. And we're trying to build a community. We're trying to build a community. People can't,
Holly,
you know, what happens, if people are supportive in their community, you can go far. But when people are kind of insecure and backstabbing
yeah
and whatnot, goes nowhere. So we've always been inclusive and trying to include as many people. We had book signings for New York Rock, and people would come get the book signed only to realize they're mentioned in the book and be shocked because they thought just Joey Ramone or Debbie Harry or somebody would be in the book. Well, I was like, you're part of the scene. Actually, you know, it's everybody that makes a groundswell in popularity, and that's what, you know, culture, you know. We're interested
yeah
in the culture, not just the making the money. You know, it'd be
right
great to make some bucks, and everyone's, you know, all for that. But, you know, the culture is how we grow things, and sometimes the most subculture things becomes popular, you know. You know, I used to play with G.G. Allin when I was a teenager. People still know about him today, you know, so sometimes the counterculture becomes mainstream and gets used in a commercial way that you'd be surprised. And
right,
right. So, you know, you just do things from the heart, and hopefully it speaks to someone, they can connect with it.
Right.
I know, totally. I think that it just is so profound, a lot of what you talked about. And, you know, I totally want to invite you back on when we have couple other shows that are going
to
be coming back on. And
right,
Phil,
I'd
are you still
to
there? Phil?
I'm here. I've been listening and enjoying
there
it.
Phil, you know, before we go and end our show, I'd like to ask you where our listeners could pick up your CD and
right
also a little bit about the different tracks that are on here besides just the one that we heard.
Okay. I generally send people over to Bandcamp.
Okay.
It's a more of an artist friendly online vendor, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my music is available at the usual places like iTunes and Amazon and so forth.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say come over to
Bandcamp.
Okay. You can download
okay
the songs, or you can buy a hand signed CD, personally signed by yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
That
oh, nice.
Will
okay
we'll go straight to you. Yeah. As far
okay
as the tracks go, just to kind of give a quick rundown of the project, it originally was only going to be three or four new songs that I had written when I
mm-hmm
first started having conversations with Tony. And we always envisioned it being minimalist and using some of the recordings of Johnny Cash that he did in the 1990s,
mm-hmm,
where it was just him and guitar. And really, like, as Tony said, let the songs speak for themselves. And
right,
mm-hmm,
it eventually ended up being nine songs because I wrote a whole bunch as once I kind of got into the project. So you know, the title track, It's All Real Good. That's a basic kind of bluesy song. Pattern the lyrics a bit off of, you know, kind of a Lou Reed type of thing.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, one of the songs that Kenny Margolis plays accordion on is a track called Hellcat Maggie, which is actually a tribute to the 1800 New York City folklore legend. She lived in the Five Points, was a very infamous woman, very rough.
Oh, wow.
You didn't want to mess with her. She's actually featured briefly in that film Gangs in New York, Scorsese's film. She's in it.
Cool.
Her character is in it. And gee, after that, a few of the songs I had been playing with my band, and then the rest of them I just was playing acoustic. I kind of have a concurrent thing going with playing with a band and then also doing these solo shows. You know, right now, obviously, it's just the solo shows, but I look forward to working with other musicians once everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that kind of tells you where it's at. Let's see, what was another song? Let Love Begin. That's kind of a happy tune about falling in love. You know, I kind of have an ongoing infatuation with moody minor key songs. So I always try to write something that's kind of happy and upbeat. Another one like that is Dancing on Top of the World, which was a song that really is a tribute to the New York City swing scene of the late 90s, of which I was involved a little bit. I used to play at the Windows on the World at the World Trade Center. And they had, you know, quite a
scene
up there.
Excuse me one minute, Phil. Hold on, excuse me. Who is laughing in the background? Somebody's having a party. I want to be there.
Wow.
Okay. Carry on, Phil.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what that song's about. So, but all my music, most of it, is available at Bandcamp.
That's cool.
I have some videos up there, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know what? I highly recommend this. It's really cool. Don't you think, Spencer?
Oh, beautiful album. Beautiful. Like, must buy.
Yeah. And I want to ask Spencer before we end our show. Spencer, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and about why this show is special, so special to you? Because music is a part of both of our lives. But Spencer's got, you know, some really cool stuff that he's done. So, Spencer, go for it.
Thank you. Well, Judith and I are, we're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've designed for very famous musicians and things like that. What I wanted to say, though, is more important. We've got two interviews coming up. One with Making Vinyl event series. Judith and I are going to be interviewed in August. And CBS radio station is interviewing us on a webinar interview in July. And then a filmmaker just approached us to do an interview on us again. So a lot of things have been going on in our life that are active, which is very cool. When I get the dates, I'll tell you, you know. But Tony's been in my life for a while, and we're planning on doing a big vinyl show in New York, which got stopped, of course, because of what's been going on. But hopefully in 2021, we're going to have this very big vinyl show. Right now we have about five major music people involved, and we had to stop, but we're going to continue. But Tony's involved. I've known Tony for, oh God, I don't know. He's just a great person, and that's why we have him on, you know. And you know, Holly, you love him too, so the reason.
Oh, no, I do. I just want to be part of the party. Whatever everyone's laughing about, I'm laughing too. Okay?
You are part of the party.
This is really fun. This is great.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
This has been so fun on a Friday afternoon to do this.
Yeah.
And I know it's Friday dinner time for you guys. What were you going to say, Phil?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I just wanted to thank you, Holly, Spencer, and Tony for having me on. I appreciate the support.
Nice to you.
Great,
Phil.
Great, Phil.
We love you, Phil.
Great. We're gonna. I'm gonna play your song again, "Lonely Street of Love," because the song that I did get for some reason, it didn't work out.
Right on. That's okay.
Okay.
Well, you can go to Bandcamp as well to hear songs by Theophobia, and you know, support artists. They need it. We don't have money for the arts in this country. You got to support these artists, and
you
go out and buy a drink, like buy a CD or buy the download. It really goes a long way and helps these people keep doing art. Well,
all right.
That's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
And so, sorry, at the beginning of the show, I was a little flustered because I found out today a friend of mine passed away that used to work for our band, so I was a little bit.
Oh my God!
Anyway, besides Bill O'Coin, which is 10 years ago, but a guy who used to work for our band years ago when I was a kid, David Bogue, he was like in the Rhodes band I played in, Flying 69 and Electric Monster. He used to be a good friend, and found out he, passed away. But I would like to say Lonely Street of Love, it's not on. It's all, to make it clear, Lonely Street of Love is not included on It's All Real Good. It's a song that we produced during the pandemic. And if you watch the video on YouTube, you'll find everyone that participated in it. You know, it was engineered by Roger Stoltz, who was the original drummer on it. Of course, Phil and Phil wrote the song. Joe Neves was on guitar and voice, the Spanish segment, and the other backing vocals. Laura Sativa on bass. Mark Jeffrey Mikulic is another guitar player. Dave Mullen played the beautiful sax on it, amazing sax.
Wow.
I played the drums on it. So if you go on, you go on YouTube and see the video, it's great to everyone.
Cool.
Sorry, I had a little bit of a
excellent
bit of a block when you asked me earlier. I was something else totally. I'm sorry, but anyway, big, beautiful people playing great music. It's easy to make it sound good, and great to work with Phil and all these people and make good music for people to enjoy and get us through this very strange time. And music brings us together. It doesn't divide us. So we need to, you know, stick together and get through this and get on with our lives already, you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I want to say
thanks again for having us on.
Oh, no. We love
it. Yeah,
it
was our pleasure, man.
Appreciate it. You guys are amazing. And almost every day I learn more amazing stuff Spencer has worked on. So he's quite a humble guy, and done work for John Lennon, done work for Joan Jett, done work for this one and that one. Check out Spencer Drake and you'll see some amazing stuff
he's
produced
Very
over
nice
the years,
you.
And it's helped promote artists so that he, you know, he notices the detail on Phil's album cover and speaks about it because that's what he does. You know, that's what he does.
Thank you, Tony. Very nice.
Very cool. Thanks again, Spencer.
Oh, love you, man. Thank you.
Love you too. Everyone, hang in there.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that you were here, able to be here today. And I'm
Thank
really
so
glad
much.
That
Me
Phil
too.
Was able to join us. Yeah.
Great. My pleasure.
That really was
my pleasure.
Yeah, guys.
Special
having
soon.
You.
Take care, guys.
See you again soon, I hope.
Take
okay.
care.
All right,
bye-bye.
I'm going to go
care.
Ahead and play that song. And
Beautiful.
It's Friday, guys.
Hey.
Hello?
All right.
I think we lost Phil. Did Phil hang up?
I think he said he signed off.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's going to listen to the song.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I wanted to say... I have a thing here. Hold on a minute now, Tony, okay? It's Friday.
Okay.
I got to say something.
I'm here.
I have a thing. Spencer knows. It's Friday. Don't drink and drive. Don't be stupid. And
yep.
All right, well, I'm not driving, so I'll drink to that.
I'll drink
okay.
to that.
All right. Just as long as you don't drink and drive, I just say that. And, well,
I do not do that
when I say it.
I don't do that.
Okay, and then I want to say, to everyone that's out there, you know, that I hope that they have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Be aware of your surroundings at all times. And
wear a mask.
Also, what was it? Oh, wait, I got it. Y'all come back now. You hear?
Get that right. All right, who's your next guest?
Yeah.
All right, dude. I was down the lonely street.
corazón, solo en la calle de amor. Mi corazón, solo en la calle de amor.
Nothing can describe my maudlin, pathos, and isolation as I trespass that eternal street. In my heart burns a thirst that the stars and streetlights can never quench. Am I walking a path that we all must travel in our own unique and distinct ways? Or am I but a doomed spirit, destined to repeat forevermore this walk of solitude?